Yeah, I saw that you watched Mad Max like the same day that I did this week. Or you watched a couple days before me, but I didn't know that you watched it. So
Mad Max Fury Road.
Fury Road.
Fury Road, not Fury Road. Yep. Yeah, I also watched the original Mad Max as well.
How's that? I think I saw it at some point, but I don't really remember it being particularly good or anything.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. First Mad Max I ever saw was Fury Road.
Yeah, same.
So after seeing that, and then, you know, probably only slightly before seeing that movie did I learn about Mad Max at all. So I saw Fury Road, and then I was like, at some point in my life, I decided I should watch the original. And I kind of assumed it would be similar, much more similar than it really is, I suppose. And so, yeah, I saw it and I was like, dang, this is quite a bit different. It is, you know, Mad Max is all post-apocalyptic Australia. And the OG Mad Max is much closer to the apocalypse than the Fury Road is to the apocalypse. Like, Fury Road is much more post-apocalypse, I would say.
Yeah.
We're talking a long time. Yeah, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, way post-apocalypse. Like, it's, to the point where, like, you'd... besides the fact that they're all speaking in Australian accents, it, like, could be a different planet. Like, there's no, like...
It could be Mars,
like,
yeah.
It's Australia in it or anything.
This is like original Mad Max. They've still, it just kind of, honestly, a way to put it for the original Mad Max is, if I didn't know anything about Australia, you could just be like, this is just regular Australia, not post-apocalyptic Australia, you know, in the 70s or whatever. It's just, they've still got radios and stuff like that. They're still driving cars and it's kind of dusty.
It could just be what the 70s were. I don't know anything about those either.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But it's got Mel Gibson, which is, you know,
mm-hmm. That's too
cool.
Bad.
He's too bad. Yeah. It's a good movie, but it's not going to probably wow you. And it's not really any. It's got guys who are Australian, and it's in Australia, and people are driving cars. And I would say, and there is a guy named Mac Rockatansky, Max Rockatansky.
Okay.
I'd say that's pretty much the extent of the similarities.
Mm-hmm. Fury Road, definitely. Stands on its own for sure. Like, yeah.
I gotta see 2 and 3 because OG Mad Max fans and Australian people that I've talked to, they're all like, Mad Max 2 Thunderdome is the best. And so I haven't seen that. And I know 3 has.
They say it's better than Fury Road.
Tina Turner. Yeah. I mean, they say it's the best. No. Yeah. It's possible.
Crazy. What a crazy
country. Well, you haven't seen that, but yeah.
How
I mean,
could
I haven't
be
seen
better
them either.
Than Fury Road?
I mean, it'll be different, I'm sure, quite a bit different, but yeah. I really got to see what happened in between though, because it's that universe changes quite a bit between Fury Road and OG Mad Max. So, need to get on a streaming thing, or need to buy it on Blu-ray or something, or pirate it.
That seems more thematically appropriate to steal it. Yeah.
Steal it.
Yeah. Yeah, movie kicks.
They got
ass.
Some
Fury Road rules.
Awesome. They've got some awesome names in the original Mad Max though too. I guess they've got good names in Fury Road, but I can't really remember them. What's what's the woman's name? I was gonna say Kate Blanchett, but it's not her.
Furiosa?
That'd be pretty cool.
Charlize Theron's Furiosa. Name? Which Charlize Theron is like an awesome name in and of itself. Whose name is Charlize? I haven't met any other Charlizes. And Nux is the dude. I watched it with subtitles for the first time, which was a good call because I didn't realize there's a lot of just sort of like atmospheric sounds or something. Like, I guess I didn't realize they were chanting V8, V8, V8. Like when they were doing the hand sign too.
Yeah.
V8. I thought it was just sort of like in the background, like rah, 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 kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like it is they're saying guzzoline. It's not not an Australian accent. It's not, they're not saying gasoline. Yeah. They're saying guzzoline. That's cool.
Yeah. I really do have to see those two middle movies, because I don't know, you know, a theme of that movie is gas, right? That's what they all do. But I got to say, if I was in a world where gas was, you know, a limited natural resource, unlike our current world.
Could you imagine? Yeah.
I probably wouldn't be dry. I would probably wouldn't have built my entire society, post-apocalyptic society, around driving cars and trucks, you know? Isn't that a little weird? I mean, I guess it's kind of a chicken and the egg problem. But if it was a regular world, if it was our world before the apocalypse, why did they get into the gas stuff afterwards? But I got to tell you, I got a list of them now, so I got to tell you some names from the original Mad Max. So you got Max Rockatansky, which already is probably one of the best.
Good-ass name.
Names. You've got the main bad guy. His name is Toe Cutter, which is a pretty cool name, I think. You got some sidekick names like Goose. But then you've got the Knight Rider, which they say in an Australian accent.
Nice.
The Knight Rider. And then my two favorites are, one, Kundalini, and two, maybe the best bad guy name of all time, Bubba Zanetti.
Bubba Zanetti, dude. Nice.
Yeah. There's like I'm looking, Grease Rat and Sprog as well.
Awesome.
But yeah, Bubba Zanetti, Kundalini, Toe Cutter, and the Knight Rider.
I don't like the way you're saying awesome. Kundalini or hearing.
That's,
I don't like
moves. Well, I got to say Kundalini.
Much better, yeah. Some of the names in Fury Road. Obviously, we got Max Rockatansky again.
Yep.
Imperator Furiosa, Nux, and the women. Women's names, or like the wives' names. Zoe Kravitz plays Toast the Knowing. Splendid, Dag Capable, Cheeto.
Nice.
The Duke
Warrior. Is it spelled like Cheetos, or it's spelled
no? There's
with
a D.
A.
It's a Cheeto.
Oh, Cheeto.
Yeah.
Cheeto.
Nathan Jones plays Rictus Erectus.
Rictus.
The Bullet Farmer, the People Eater. Yeah.
Who's the guitar guy?
That's the Doof Warrior.
The Doof Warrior? Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that I'm in the original Mad Max too. They got a Benno.
Benno?
Yeah, which I think would be my Australian name. You know,
they
put the O's at the end. Yeah, Benno. Mm-hmm. Oh, Mudguts as well. Mudguts?
I've been there.
Mudguts.
Cheeto the Fragile. Capable.
Cheeto.
Another one. Yeah, great movie. I don't know. Maybe it was just hitting super hard at the time when I watched it this last week. But I was like, I don't know. I feel it's been 9 years. Still haven't seen anything that like beats this, you know? It just set a new benchmark, whatever. Like, oh, the John Wick stuff is good, whatever. But as far as like an action movie, like this is the best to me.
Mm.
Can I
say one more Mad Max fun fact I learned from Australian person at work when I talked to him about Mad Max a couple weeks ago? He told me that there is, and I'm seeing it on the Wikipedia page now, and so it reminded me, when Mad Max was released in the US, they redubbed it with American voices, which I gotta say, massive, massive sin. But apparently there is an American version of Mad Max out there where they replaced all the voices with American guys.
Mel Gibson,
and they replaced
is American,
the slang.
Right?
No, I think he was born in America, but immigrated to Australia with his family at a young age.
Okay.
And so he's very much, you know, Australian actor, Mel Gibson.
He has an Australian accent, like naturally speaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. I thought he had an American accent.
When he was in Passion of the Christ, he was, you know, oi.
That's why you couldn't help but chuckle at those leaked voicemails. Like, yeah, I know what he's saying, but
yeah,
it's so funny the way he says it. He looks evil. He has a very evil look to him.
Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like modern Mel Gibson. Look at this. He looks like the devil.
Oh, I've seen him, yeah.
He's straight up.
He does, yeah. I mean, I know what you're saying, yeah.
Like if Ray Wise got a curse put on him, he would look like Mel Gibson. Ray on Wise. That's what I'm going to start calling Mel Gibson. Hell Gibson. Anyway.
Who are? I mean, Australia got some good actors and actresses. Actresses, for sure.
Yeah?
For sure. Yeah. Cate Blanchett, right? Cate Blanchett, right?
She's Australian?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't know that they were capable of grace. No offense.
Absolutely.
But I thought you were all such an ugly...
I don't really know how you say her...
Rough person.
Cate Blanchett. Oh, it does say Blanchett in her Wikipedia page. It says Blanchett.
All right.
I don't really know how you would say that with an Australian accent, but yeah. Margot Robbie.
Mm-hmm. Ben Mendelsohn. The man.
Mel Gibson.
I'm sure they do like Australian original films, but like, do they call it, there's, you know, like Bollywood, but do they have something for, what would it call, Aussiewood, I guess is probably what they would call it.
Mm. Russell Crowe.
Down Underwood. All right. Down Underwood.
I didn't know this one. Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I still don't believe Cate Blanchett is Australian, but...
She's been in my mind the whole time, but I don't think I said her yet. Obviously Nicole Kidman.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's going on? Are there... That's crazy. You guys. Yeah. I don't know why there can't be Australian actors, but...
Yeah.
I will just accept that there are like a ton of British actors, but like Australia, that's what you got going on over there?
Heath Ledger.
All right.
Toni Collette would not have guessed her. Definitely would not have guessed her.
Wow. This is blowing my mind. I claimed all of them. I was like, these are all people from Iowa, probably, if I had to guess.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't watch those things, but I like him.
He has a very bad voice.
Is he the one that's in? Very scratchy. Is he the one that's in the Michael Mann movie, Black Hat?
Yeah.
What's that guy?
Yeah, all those guys
seem very similar.
Which, by the way, have you seen Ferrari yet?
No.
Oh, really, really looking forward to seeing that.
You haven't seen it though? Okay.
I have not seen it. No.
I wanted to see it in the theater, and then I couldn't before the end of the December. But yeah, okay, I gotta see that.
We ended up watching The Holdovers over the last couple nights, and I saw that you watched it too, and I want to talk to you.
I saw it in the UK, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. We talked about that a little bit. Yeah, you said that you didn't really like it that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a big fan.
Yeah. Yeah, we finished it last night, and I liked a lot about what was going on, but I don't know. I'm still not quite sure how to articulate this. I think it's a trick. Like, I think it's it's so sentimental to the point where like have you seen other of his movies, like Alexander Payne's movies, like Election specifically?
Yes, I've seen that one.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. It's first of all crazy to watch those back to back, because then we finished Holdovers and immediately put on Election, and it's wild to just do that. And so probably I don't know. I can't tell if like he's like, Alexander Payne is like old now and is like, he actually is sentimental in his older age. I have no idea how old he is, but like, how cynical Election is, which is like, might be my favorite movie, Election rules, how like cynical and mean that movie is. It kind of feels like for someone to be able to make that, and then also The Holdovers, the Holdovers is like, it's like a, it's not necessarily a trick that he's pulling, but it's sort of like he's like sarcastically making it like, oh, here's a movie, oh, here's a heartfelt movie, and he's just like good at making movies. And so like, oh, you're gonna have it be, you're gonna have like a hug with his dad, oh, and you're gonna, you're, there's gonna be this connection that they have over Christmas, okay. And I feel like Paul Giamatti's in on it. Like we love Paul Giamatti on this podcast, we love him, and he is, gives like a very, there's lots of like funny stuff about his performance, and like he gives like a great performance, but like I think Paul Giamatti and Alexander Payne have like some evil in them, and there's something about like, you know, it, like the physic, like the kind of like slapstick scenes where he's like in a wide shot doing his stretches and or like throws the thing, like it's like just on the wrong side of over the top that it feels like, so even though he looks like a fool, we're laughing at him, but like it's making fun of us. And I don't know if that makes sense, but I think that the like retro style production or the replication of the retro style like kind of encapsulates it all. Like we're gonna put a bunch of film grain on it, and it's not gonna actually like look like film, but it's gonna give like this sheen of film, and like we're gonna record the audio and or mix it down to mono or like make it sound like it's retro recording. Like it's sort of like there's this falseness to it. That said, like I sound very down on it. All that's being said, like I did really like it, and I fell for it like without those tricks in mind, you know, like I was eating it up even as presented. I think it worked really well. I really liked Paul Giamatti's performance, and I think he was the third best actor in the movie, or I think he gave the third best performance. Like I think the other two leads were incredible. Thought they did a great job. Like that kid that they found for this was awesome in it. I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. Now I gotta disagree with you on that part. Hated the kid.
Interesting.
Did not like him at all. And which was a bad feeling to have, because it's like, damn, I'm gonna be stuck with this guy for the whole movie. Mm-hmm. I can deal, you know, Paul Giamatti, good. I didn't really like him in this movie that much, but it's fine. But that kid just could not stand him or his character. I didn't like, I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Interesting. I think it worked really well on me. And Divine Joy Randolph was really great too. Zoe, she really didn't like her.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
I thought she was
the best actress in the movie, better than Giamatti. And
the three people I've talked to this about, like, each have such a different take on the performances. I think this is very interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I thought she was the best character and the best actress in the movie. Yeah, and I hate that kid.
Very interesting. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, the three of us, like, we each, like, almost... I guess I don't dislike Paul Giamatti's performance in this, but, like, I don't buy it all the way.
Interesting. Okay, yeah.
There's evil in that man.
I didn't really like the story, I think, overall. It just wasn't my thing.
If it was like, it's very unsubtle. It's very heavy-handed with a lot of stuff, and that's what makes me like the screenplay just like tips its hand in so many places that it made me feel like this isn't somebody who like if he like earnestly thought all of these things, he'd say it differently. But he's sort of like cynically doing earnestness. Is the vibe, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like if I like didn't like really care, but I'd be like, it's so easy to write a book. Don't worry, Mr. Hunnam, writing a book, you just write one word after the other. Like, why would you have a line like that?
Yeah.
That's, unless you're just like, line like that, you know, kind of just shitting it out. Like, it'll just fill the space there a little bit. That's maybe a bad example, but,
yeah, I think they should have just done less in the movie.
Yeah.
Take out a bunch of the plot. Just let them sit there and think and make it slower.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think you could
don't do like a meet the, you don't need to do like a Meet the Fockers type movie, whatever you call
don't ever those, meet like, the Fockers
family holiday movie, right? Which is like, what a, I mean, whatever. I'm not going to watch that, obviously. Like, or not Meet the Fockers, but I'm not going to watch your family holiday movie, but that's kind of like what he did. If it was going to be better, it would have been something that's not for the family because it's slowed way down and way less happens and you have way less characters and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much stuff that just, okay, what's going on? The meeting the girl at the party and having a kiss and then the guy that
like that should
Giamatti
be like the climax
and,
of the movie or something. You know, like that should be, it should just be about going, like if this was like totally earned it, almost, I almost wonder if the budget was too big. Like this was too big of a movie that it got like, it got like this, like studios had too much invested in it and just like pushed it in too many places that made me think this, like, oh, you need to spell things out more. Oh, you need to have more happen. We can't do a wide release for with a movie that only takes place over one weekend at a boarding school with only three actors. Like, we need to bring in more things. We need to have a bunch more stuff happen. And it kind of, like, we got to go to Boston. We got to do these other things. And even though I thought the Boston trip was very good,
that's how it should have ended, I think. I think you should just be, everybody goes away. Cut at the beginning of the movie where a bunch of extras leave for the holiday. And then it's like Paul Giamatti and the kid that I hate staring at each other moodily for 2 hours. And then at the very end of the movie, they basically silently go to Boston and he sees his dad. And then Paul Giamatti looks sad or something. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of. Like, I think I kind of agree.
It could be like an Ingmar Bergman film where they're just in the car driving to see his dad the whole time in the context of it being this holiday weekend.
And it seems like this is a movie where you would have an extended, I remember thinking this during the movie, like, that you would have an extended, just like one shot of you see the two of them in the car driving and they're in complete silence and you just like sit with each of their emotions or something for a long time. And which is like maybe an obvious, so that's why I think there's something else going on or something. Like that would be an obvious, now I'm not presuming to know better. I hate it when people I don't know, say that like, oh, you would just do this and this and this, even though that's exactly what we were just saying. But it seemed like a movie that where that some scene like that would be there, and you would like, there's just not a lot of space for breath, even too.
Yeah,
in it.
Yeah, a lot of jokes. A lot of just like it's not even they don't deserve to be called like vignettes, but a lot of little tropes thrown in, you know, running into the Paul Giamatti's ex-classmate or whatever in Boston, and then that little this that doesn't have to happen. We kind of got that already.
Uh-huh. Exactly. You can get that whole thing some other way. I think the like spelling out like the medication, like that. I mean, at least they didn't go back for more. Like, you know, you and I, you are on the same meds, how about that?
And I mean, the ending is the absolute worst part to me, where it's like, what, you gotta have the family come in like in a Disney movie and complain, and then Paul Giamatti sticks up for the kid and gets fired? No, that's for the Disney movie. That's for the kids' family holiday movie. We can get that. You don't need to spell it out to us one more time that they've formed a relationship or that they've been changed by this little thing that happened. Hey, don't like
that. Yeah, I want this to be way more like Banshees of Inisherin than Big Fat Liar.
Yeah.
I think that Banshees does a great, is like tonally a lot closer to where I think this could have worked.
I'd love it to be just Big Fat Liar too, though. That would be good.
I mean, that'd be cool.
It was just a completely different movie. Mm-hmm. And he turns blue again, and yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also being way harder on this than I think I mean to be, because
yeah.
I did really like it, and yeah. I like was transfixed the whole time, and I teared up, and so like I don't know why I'm complaining about it, but I just like can't shake the feeling that there's some cynicism about in there. I don't know. Like if you do take it as fully earnest, I think there could be an interesting dialogue to be had between that movie and Election, and how it's, you know, the older filmmaker, older artist talking to his younger self, or not even artist, like an older man talking to his younger self, telling him you don't need to be so mean, you know, something along those lines. Who knows? But I don't know. Was a good movie, and there's a lot to like about it. It just made me think. So we also,
it's no Mad Max Fury Road.
I hate to say that, but it's true. that movie had me tearing up. I'll say that. I was watching it on the treadmill. Yeah. I've seen Mad Max Fury Road so many times, but every time I'm like gasping at every beat. And oh my God, are they gonna make it every single time? And had me tearing up at the end. Okay. Last movie thing that I wanted to discuss with you. I mean, we can keep talking about movies, but I want to put this on the record. Are we doing a Philip Seymour Hoffman series?
What was the last one that we did?
Star Wars. I think that put us off
Star Wars. Yeah.
Series for a while.
Okay. Sure.
But we can't do every single, I mean, we could. We watched all the Bond movies. I'll remind everyone that we watched all the Bond movies. So there's really nothing that we can't do at this point.
And if they will do any future ones, I think we will continue to do them.
I think so too. It'll be a lot easier to keep up like that.
I think we have to do that for every series that we've done, unfortunately, which means we probably have Bond and Star Wars movies and
for the rest of our lives.
Always the possibility of Lord of the Rings stuff.
I think
for the rest of our lives.
There's more coming out this year.
Lord of the Rings movies?
Yeah. A movie at least.
Okay.
Yeah. But
yeah, I'll watch that. I think we were talking about it, but you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman, known primarily for the Hunger Games and nothing else. He's in the Hunger Games.
How fucking dare you?
But I watched Magnolia recently, which I think I told you about.
Oh, nice.
Obviously, I've seen The Master. I watched Mission Impossible 3 lately, so I've seen him a lot lately.
Yeah,
but yeah, we can watch it.
You know, it, like I would like to pick. Like I want to pick like some from his very early career to like what's the breakthrough. Maybe we'll do some research to figure out the right way to do this. We'll do some early, mid, and late career stuff. We want to have like a representative slice of his career, I suppose. I think it makes sense to probably do Hard Eight, which
Boogie Nights.
I think is probably his first, I mean, it has to be his first collaboration with Paul Thomas Anderson. Yeah, I mean,
I told you this. Apparently, he's in Twister.
Yeah, I think.
Which is earlier than Hard Eight. I just wanted to call that.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Hard Eight is his first collaboration with Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Boogie Nights as well, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta probably watch The Big Lebowski.
Couldn't hurt.
And
we gotta see Punch Drunk Love.
Yep, that's later, but yeah.
Although we can't just do a Paul Thomas Anderson. We got to do non Paul Thomas Anderson movies.
Sure.
We could do Magnolia,
which is also him.
Talented Mr. Ripley. He's got a great role in that. We could do his Prestige. Like I don't know, like Capote.
Famous.
you know, Capote. Biopic style kind of thing. But I would also I'd be down, like Along Came Polly kind of thing too. Like these like smaller or like less dramatic, serious roles. To sort of see everything.
Moneyball.
Oh, he's so good at Moneyball. Like Dowd is another like one of those like elevated, like I don't know, serious actor type of thing. And I want to see, we should check him out in a Hunger Games as well.
That's his last movie too.
Yeah.
Except that he's in we're not going to watch them, which all would mean we'd have to watch three
Hunger Games movies. Maybe
Shelley can call in about that one because she's seen them all.
Oh yeah. She should recommend which one we watch, or, you know, maybe there's a compelling reason to watch all three of them.
He's probably, I'm going to guess that he's probably in both all of them for like 10 minutes because he's not the main, he's a guy, an adult, and it's a movie about kids.
So yeah.
I'm guessing that he's not in it that much. I'm guessing he's like a doctor or something, you know, or a whatever, you know,
the bad couldn't tell guy, you
adult. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But yes. Okay. We'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for you to see Punch Drunk Love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So I would like to pitch you on a name for the series. I think we should call it Philip Podmore Hoffcast.
Sure.
All right. Or Philip Hear My Podcast.
Okay.
All right. I guess we'll... Philip Podmore Hoffcast, colon, Philip Hear My Podcast.
Hear More Podcast?
Hear...
What was it?
Philip... Instead of see more, it's hear yeah. my.
Hear, okay, but not hear more podcast. Okay, hear my.
Philip, hear my podcast.
Okay.
Okay, we'll figure this out. anyway, so that's some good housekeeping that we got taken care of. But we'll start with let's pick an early one on his career to start with.
We're gonna do this next.
Well, we want to tell people. Well, that's a good point. We haven't discussed that. Maybe it doesn't make sense to do it starting next.
Okay, pending sometimes.
Pending, yeah. Look out for that series coming into the feed. Same feed that you're already listening to. What's going on? What's been happening?
You know who's? Well, I watched Casino Royale.
Oh hell yeah!
You know, good movie. Speaking of movies, we've already talked about on this podcast. I rewatched Casino Royale yesterday. I've seen this thing, which is really annoying because I don't check, you know, I don't really check Twitter that much, but every once in a while I check in. And so I get really annoyed when people are doing I see a lot of spam, or it's not spam, but it's the chain mail style posts, which are annoying because I want to get on Twitter and see something new. I don't want to get on Twitter and it's the day where everybody's talking about, you know, whatever. And I got on and everybody's talking about the movies you've seen the most, something like that. But I gotta say, Casino Royale is gotta be the movie I've seen the most in my life.
For sure. Same.
Stop posting about that stuff. I wanna see some good content, followees, or yeah, people that I'm following.
Mm-hmm.
Post better stuff because I only check it every once in a while now. But I will add to the conversation, Casino Royale is the movie I've seen the most, and it's still a very excellent movie, I think.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig's a guy that deserves a career in, you know, retrospective career podcast. He deserves our kind of podcast.
Derogatory. May your career be such that Dr. Skeleton's Art School does a series on you.
Yeah.
Maybe. So obviously we both love Casino Royale so much.
Yeah.
And do you think that Daniel Craig is good in that movie as the Bond for that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. For sure. You don't like his take on Bond after. Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about that, like, I think, you know, this is such a great movie, but in a way it's a little, you know, sad in how, to me, it kicked off a trend in Bond movies that I don't like after that point. But
yeah,
excellent movie. Love it.
Yeah. So do you like, on balance, like his Bond portrayal, or I guess his Bond career or non-Bond career?
That's interesting. I would say I like it all.
Except you don't.
Well, but I like him, you know, across the board usually. You know, I don't know. I kind of find him annoying when he's being goofy, but at the same time I like it, some of his goofy stuff. Like in Logan Lucky. It's kind of annoying.
Might be my favorite of his roles.
But it's also awesome. Yeah, it's also awesome. Knives Out, the original Knives Out, goofy, but I like that a lot. Glass Onion, I guess thanks, because extremely goofy and I hate it. One of the worst movies I've ever seen. I do think he's a good Bond in the other movies. I just don't like those other movies. I don't have a complaint about him.
That helps. Yeah. I would like to peer into the alternate universe where he never became Bond, but still had that layer cake credit.
Yep.
And went on to be perhaps a less pigeonholed action star for a while, or did other interesting things. I'm enjoying later career Daniel Craig, like the movies that he. I mean, I guess Glass Onion don't really care about. I like his non-Bond movies, I suppose. Like, I really liked the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, where he was Blomqvist in that. And I would have loved to see, like, what if that was the kind of movie he was doing the whole time? Or, like, could he get back in the saddle and do more along those lines?
Have you seen him in, like, Munich, where he's, like, more of a secondary character?
I think I did. I think I went and at some point watched. Maybe I'm. Is that the one?
It's about the Mossad, you know, the Olympic thing.
Then I don't think I saw that. I saw Archangel.
Oh, okay.
That's what I watched back in the day. I have not seen Munich.
Okay.
And
I know he's in Road to Perdition as well, but I've never seen that.
I really disliked that movie when I watched it. I was doing my like movie every day thing. But I'm curious about revisiting it because people think it's very good.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're just missing something about it. Hmm. Yeah, because that's another great example of him just being like some guy showing up in it, right?
He's in one of the Star Wars movies, right? I just can't remember.
Like as a cameo, like he's in a stormtrooper costume for one scene.
Oh, okay.
Like he's
not a
character in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Maybe he would have just been stormtroopers for the rest. It'd just be layer cake and then all the Star Wars movies and stormtroopers.
Yeah. He kind of seems like somebody who wants to, well, whatever. I don't know. Didn't he get like $500 million to be Benoit Blanc for three fucking movies?
Yeah.
So I was like, it's hard to feel too bad for him, but like, you're like, I just want to do like wacky roles and not get caught up in another franchise. But oops, turns out I'm just, the camera just loves me too much.
Yeah. I mean, Mads Mikkelsen in that movie, also obviously very good actor as well.
Oh, yeah.
I've been watching, you know, I watched those. I finally finished the Pusher trilogy this week. He's not in the third one, but. He's in the first two. Very good. I like that.
Did you watch Another Round movie?
No. It's on my watch list.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about guys getting drunk, right?
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah.
I think I started it. But I thought it was fine. I don't know. I didn't really hook me the way I wanted it to. But I saw that Chris Rock is going to remake it. He's gonna make an American version of that.
Okay. I'll have to see it, I guess, before I pass any judgment on that.
Yeah. Does Chris Rock make movies? Is kind of like my main, like, first of all, why would that movie need to be remade? I think it was pretty popular in the States already. Does he direct stuff? Anyway. He did direct that Top 5 movie. I thought that was pretty good, actually. Mm. Way more movie talk than I anticipated. That's because we don't have a bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah.
We don't have any politics stuff. Nothing, because nothing's happening. Shelly and I were just talking about that today. Okay.
It's too bad nothing is happening.
Hard. Let's do hard hitting politics stuff right now. Money. You're betting money. Who is going to? Who is the current president? Who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to make it there?
That's the question, huh?
Who will make it to the final round, the day of?
I can see them swapping in Kamala.
You think so? Due to? It'd have to be death. It would literally have to be death for both of these guys, I think.
You don't... it doesn't seem like Tricky Joe is going to want to ever relinquish the wheel, right? He's too spiteful.
He's not walking away, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted to be president his whole life. He's not giving it up now.
Yeah. But he's not doing too good.
No.
Nor is he doing very much good.
I saw something like 75% of Democrat voters think he's too old to be running for president.
It's crazy, dude.
75%. Yeah. I saw his approval rating is like 38%, which I don't know. I don't really know, but that seems low. I thought
the election is
around
this
50.
Year. you have to like, are they just, is Washington just freaking out and everybody's too much of a coward to do anything? Not like do anything, but like, you know, like say anything or try to, they're just too deferential, but freaking out to each other in group chats or something. Or are they all bought in on Joe's the guy? It seems crazy that they're gonna try to run him again. I don't know. And I mean, Trump would easily beat him, I think, if they both end up making it to the election, right? Don't you think?
I don't know. Don't know. I think so. I think if I was just betting money on it, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be betting money. But I guess I'd probably bet on Trump to win, but I don't know. I don't really know I don't know what people think who are actually going to vote. Who is going to vote? How many people are not going to vote?
That's the other thing I'm thinking, like, this is going to be the lowest turnout in history. Like, including when there were, like, 40,000 Americans.
Yeah.
Total. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. A rematch is so crazy.
Yeah. Also, especially a rematch if the other guy wins this time. After complaining about the results of the last one, or... like 2 years as well.
Yeah. I've also seen some speculation about like the tagging Hillary back in, which I don't think is the worst idea, like politically, as far as like could maybe win. I don't know why. Cause like there's only been one person in history to ever lose to Donald Trump, and it's her. but for some reason, I feel like she could beat him this time.
Yeah. Maybe she beat him this time.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It seems like a better idea than running Joe.
It seems like you couldn't get much worse than the current guy. And so when you bring up her, it's like, she's probably a big step up, actually.
Like, wouldn't she just be, just kind of do the same thing, but like you could understand what she's saying?
I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
As Biden. Honestly, don't even... no, like, I don't know. I think they should just run Kamala. I think they just swap out Kamala, have her be it, and just like see how it goes.
I don't think that would go well, though.
I don't think it probably would.
I think we've now named about three people who are the three worst possible choices. I'm not saying that
Pete in there.
They're what's better.
Like they just don't have that. They don't have the bench.
I mean, yeah. I feel like I might be wrong. I feel like you could swap in any of those other people, Pete, Amy Klobuchar, any of those people from last time, Bernie, whoever, and they would be extremely safe. You would just have the election locked down at that point.
You would just win if you put Amy Klobuchar in the driver's seat? I believe that.
I think so. I think if you picked a normal person, you would lock it down. For either party, I feel like, if you picked a normal-ish person.
So that's why, like, Nikki Haley's staying in it, right? It's just that, like, in case Donald Trump goes to jail or dies or something? Or,
yeah, I mean, I think so. You
decide that he's not on the ballot. I don't even know. Yeah. Not following that. So if it was Nikki Haley versus Biden, you think that Nikki Haley would win?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe she's not normal enough.
I think it would be funny. It would be funny for a Democrat man to lose to a Republican woman. That would make Democrats.
Yeah.
That would have them trouble computing that.
Maybe they would swap out too. Maybe if one of them swapped, then the other one would swap.
Oh, I think interesting.
Maybe if Trump swapped out, it might.
I could see that.
I think if Biden swapped out, they wouldn't swap out Trump though, because he's kind of.
He's on his own. He's on his own. Trump's not gonna be like, all right, well then my job is done. I don't care anymore.
We're obviously doing the dumb thing of like everyone thinks that they know what's on the mind of everyone else.
Of course.
Right? But I know the voters of America, the voice of America.
The voters of America, dude. And everyone needs to stop pretending or stop trying to figure them out. I don't think it'll ever be done.
No.
Have you just like met a person? Just like, you know, randomly talk to somebody and try to get like a more like complete like understanding of like how they think about the world. It's the craziest thing you've ever heard in your life for any person you talk to. That also means I'm the craziest person so many people talk to. Nothing makes sense. Stop. It doesn't work like you think it works. For anybody.
No. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Everybody's a weirdo.
It's completely random.
Start to get to know them. Yeah.
Every election result is random.
Yeah.
Who do you think? Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, anyway, yeah, what's next? Who do you think will win the Chinese election?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
My money's on Xi Jinping. No, I don't know. I don't know anything else. I don't know what's going on. I heard their economy is either good or bad right now. It's one of those things. It's either really bad.
Sorry to hear that, or congratulations.
Yeah.
To them. Yeah, depending on which way it breaks.
What are you wondering? What was your question?
Could you get invested in a president, in a presidential candidate at this point? Do you think
for this race or in life?
Do you think you can ever you'll ever have it in you?
No.
To like ever be like, I care, or like I'm gonna like get my hopes up or anything along those lines.
I think the answer is no.
Yeah,
but again, it's not to say you know nihilistic or something like that. That's not the case, but no.
It does not appear.
Still, no.
Not to be nihilistic or like pessimistic or even like cynical about it, but are you fucking kidding me? Get real.
Yeah, well, no, I kind of, yeah, no, pass. Not.
It seems very unlikely.
Make me an offer.
Sure,
which
yeah.
Which is the thing that they don't do. They never do.
No.
It is the opposite way. Now. Yeah. It is get on board.
My brow has
which
been
I
fully
understand,
beaten.
Sort of, but yeah.
Yeah, no. I get you. Honestly, that's true. Like, that's what's different about me now. Is like, I'm old and sage and mature, and I understand where you're coming from. Everybody who is very worked up about this, best of luck with everything.
Which is like about the, you know, the American voter, the mind of the American voter, because that's like how everybody thinks about voting now. They're like, well, I'm doing this not because it's what I want to do, but it's because what everybody else, all of the other rubes out there are going to do. We need electable people, right? Like, how about you just make me an offer on why this is a good person and all? whatever, maybe I'd vote for them. Not this like doing the calculus of what everybody else around me is going to do thing. That's stupid.
Show me the money. Let's see the terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? They did that rank. They did that rank choice voting thing in New York, and they still elected Eric Adams. So.
I didn't realize they did ranked choice for that.
Yeah, for that. Yeah, it was the first one ever, and it's like, damn, instantly proven.
Never mind. I guess it was something else. Yeah. Go back to the drawing board. That's so funny. Are they gonna do it again? Yeah. Are they gonna be like, well, fuck that? I guess it didn't really.
Don't know.
Huh. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to get into like, you know what? Things aren't so bad. You know, like things have never been better. And things are only going to get better from here. That's when I'm going to start thinking about things. Why not? Hmm. Who the fuck cares? Things might as well be good. I don't know if it makes any sense. It doesn't. I don't know.
I've read about the IRA a lot, and I was reading
always
about,
a good sign for your friends to be telling
you
something
like
that.
Yeah, I've been reading
like
about that. The IRA. I was reading about Sinn Féin, you know, which people always say is like the political.
Yeah, are you celebrating the recent win?
Is that what that actually? Maybe that's how I had them on the brain, but I literally just woke up this morning and thought to myself, let me read a little bit more about these guys. And
there was a recent election in Northern Ireland where someone from
Sinn Féin won.
Sinn Féin won the first. She was the first Sinn Féin politician in. Or something. Hold on. I'm just proud of myself for knowing there was something that happened recently with Sinn Féin. So I'm like,
sure,
I'll ride that out. I'll look this up. Okay.
Yeah. Because they've got the MPs in the UK Parliament thing. And I think they're interesting because they do this thing where they win the seats and then they have a policy of abstentionism. So they just don't vote on anything. But they go and win the seats, you know?
Okay. Michelle O'Neill, she is the first nationalist first minister of Northern Ireland. Which doesn't sound great.
First minister. Of Northern Ireland. Okay, so that's probably like their sort of like a prime minister, except it's at the level of Northern Ireland, which is not the country. It's a country within a country.
Yeah.
We're on to weird UK things again.
So it's the first time an Irish nationalist has held the title of first minister in Northern Ireland.
Yeah. Okay.
Do we know about what first minister is? I'm going to chalk this up as a dub for me for basically being able to kind of say that.
I Sinn Féin people I know are Gerry Adams and Mary Lou McDonald.
Got me beat. I only know Michelle O'Neill.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm looking at her Wikipedia page right now.
What are you? Are you a Irish Republican or an Irish, I don't know what they call the other one, separatist? I know they call them Ulsters, but I don't know if that's the same thing.
You know, I am not, it's all very complicated. I'm just like doing the thing. It's so, there's so much nuance in all of it. No, I think that, you know, makes sense that the people of Ireland should govern Ireland as a sovereign state.
Yep. But are you talking about Ireland, the country, or Ireland, the island?
Oh, God, I don't know. Are we trying to union? Are we trying to combine Northern Ireland and Ireland? Probably. Is that not? Is that what that means?
That's what the Republicanism is.
I think so. I think that's probably where I lean.
It is. Okay. Yeah. But then what do you do about all the Ulsters? What do you do about all the Protestants?
The people who don't want
Ireland?
That?
Yeah, who live there.
You
got a little bit of an Israel-Palestine situation going on. What are the options?
Yeah, well, yeah. What are my options? No, I don't know. I think we can sit down and talk it out. You know, I think we find common ground. I think I don't. I'm not going to recommend removing them. I think they should be allowed to stay where they are, yep. And keep their homes. And
but they want to be ruled. They want to be ruled by the British. They want to be British. You know.
I think they're going to get a big old come on. You want to be ruled by the British? What are you talking about? No, you don't.
Well, they want to, yeah. You know.
That's going to get a... It is
kind of an Israel-Palestine situation, as I understand it. Except my understanding is sort of flipped in who's dominant, I guess. Who's sort of more dominant right now, you know?
I think I know what you're saying.
It's like, what do you think
should be done with the Protestants?
I'm not the one running for first minister like you. Second minister. you're running for the
wandering
second minister.
into the hall and accidentally stepping up to the podium, not realizing that I should keep walking, but fielding all of the questions. That's how I feel in this moment right now. But yeah, I don't know. I just shut the fuck up. I don't know what's going on over there.
Yeah, they're asking you what do you think of the Good Friday Agreement? What do you think of the Easter Accords?
Well, it ended violence, right? Or it was good. It's certainly good in that.
Clearly, we still have a problem.
Yeah,
obviously,
sure.
There's still a problem.
That's right.
No, I'm pitching you things to say. You know?
Mm-hmm. Furthermore, after I say that, I think that what we could be doing is hearing each other out, and talking about stuff. That's all they want. They just want to be ruled by the British. Why? Your king's about to die. Is this your king?
Well, I think as I understand, you know, you've got the Protestants, and you've got the. You basically got Protestants and Catholics, or you did, in Northern Ireland, and that's because in antiquity, you know, British people kind of invaded Ireland, you know, and then people started living there, and then you got Northern Ireland, and then you got the Republic of Ireland, and it's just Ireland, and then you got Northern Ireland, where you still got kind of 50-50 situation going on, but it's ruled by British, but, you know. The people there are both sort of like this is our home, and you know you got the Catholic people who kind of want to have a united Ireland, and then you've got the Protestants who want to be like, well, you know, we've been British all along, want to stay British, we don't want to be part of Catholic Ireland.
Okay, I think that like historically,
so you're speaking to the don't speak to me, speak to the people of Ireland.
Here's me speaking to the people of Ireland.
Of Northern Ireland.
You think
Ireland,
you just fell out of the coconut tree? My brothers and sisters, you exist in the context in which you came before. Think about...
It really is. That's actually a good quote for them. They really would be... Their minds would be changed. There's a lot
about,
of context there.
I am, of course, not just walking into this... completely fresh. You guys have to consider your own histories with what's going on here. But I think that generally speaking, if you bet against the British Empire, or if you think what they want, take what they want as bad and do the opposite, I think you're going to mostly make the right decision. Mm-hmm. And I would just throw that out for you all to consider here. In this situation,
that's a good presidential tactic. I actually think more people should do that. The idea of I'm just throwing this out,
floating something,
seeing if it's gonna stick. If you guys don't like it, yeah. How do you feel about this? If you don't like it, well, I won't say it next time.
I'm here to listen to you.
What do you guys want?
Yeah. What do you want? Why do I? I'm just one guy. You guys are all a whole bunch of people. But you know, I guess I do kind of mean that seriously with my limited knowledge of the issue at hand. I would say that, you know, like if we I don't know. Irish unification. Let's do it. Let's do a one state solution. You don't need those. You don't need those Brits.
Okay. Well, but you got kind of 50-50 situation going on. So you lost 50% just there. You got to come up with something. You got to have they ever considered this? Okay. You got a picture of Ireland, the island, in your head, right?
Yeah.
And you got a picture of how Northern Ireland, where that is, right?
Yes.
Okay. North. And it's like 50-50-ish, my understanding. Well, I wonder if they've ever considered, okay, what about we don't do a one-state solution, we don't do a two-state solution, but we do a 50-50, and we just, what if we just cut Northern Ireland in half? I guess that's a two-state solution. You just cut it in half. So you get a smaller state. You get a smaller Northern Ireland for the Protestants, and the Catholic people can, you got half of it that you can add on to Ireland. I wonder if I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering if anybody's ever considered it. Once again, throwing that out there. Not a proposal, not a campaign promise or a proposal. Just wondering, have you guys thought about that?
Nah, I think you're fucking up. I think this is a mistake. My opponent would have you do a 50-50.
You know what they should do?
Abolish borders altogether over here. I think that it was a mistake to have his land in mine in the first place, and we're going to return to a different way of doing it.
I've got a proposal. My opponent here, Will, is an idealist, but I'm a practical man, pragmatic man, and so I've got the motherly idea here. This is an idea from women, so it's actually a really good one. So all the women vote for me on this one. I think they should do it like when you're splitting a last piece of cake with your siblings, where your mom says one of you gets to cut and then the other one gets to choose which piece you want. So you guys get to, one of you gets to cut up this land, but then the other one's going to get to pick. Okay, I think they should do that.
Ladies and gentlemen of this fine nation, you've heard my opponent pander to you. This is not something that I would ever do to you. That said, I will be continuing on in my approximation of an Irish accent. And I would say, this man did not know what he talks about. He'd be a fool.
I'll do my same accent that I do for every non-American English speaking country, which is basically no accent, but it always is me starting with the word oi, as you would know if you've listened to this podcast before. Oi.
It's a draw. The two Iowans are executed. Thrown into the sea.
They've united. We've united Ireland around their opposition fuck these for guys. Us.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have you been to Ireland?
No. Have you?
No. Nope. Sounds like we're about due for a tour to go figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah. Showing up. We're going to wear, I'll wear the Irish Republican, the tricolors, and you can wear the Ulster.
No, I'm not on their side.
Well, but we'll split clothes. We'll wear one of those big jumpers that split down the middle, you know?
I don't know.
Like where you're a fan of both teams, you know?
I'm not, though. God damn it.
Okay.
I think they're a right bunch of wankers.
Okay.
Those Brits.
I neither confirm nor not confirm what Will said.
Wanker status? I mean, okay, this is I'm cooling down the speech. There are a lot of words were spilt today. There's a lot of accusations flying. Some of us may or may not have done offensive accents in the course of events here today. But I think that we need to remember, moving forward, there's been a lot that has happened, right? I think we can all agree on that. Things have been crazy here for a long time. They've been crazier sometimes than others. And, you know, like I'm going to come back to it. We didn't just fall out of the coconut tree. We do exist in the context where we've been. And, there's not going to be a clean, perfect way to do this. You know, like Like, the time has progressed since you know, the British did what they did. But I think we can agree that we should attach those bayonets to the end of our rifles and run these bastards through right now. Let's go. Yeah. Folks, I would maybe even suggest that they're after your Lucky Charms.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Did you see that quote, the Kamala quote?
The coconut thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Her delivery is crazy.
She does, I mean, obviously, she's got the crazy laugh, you know? She does the crazy laugh as a segue to being serious a lot.
Yeah. It's nuts, but also great.
Have you ever seen the Australian guy talking about like gay marriage? He does a segue like that too.
No, I don't know.
He's like, oh, I don't think he's kind of like laughing or something. Like, oh, I don't think I need to be worrying about what's happening in people's houses. And then he gets deathly serious. All of a sudden, he's like, I think we should be focusing on the fact that 2 children die every day by being eaten by crocodiles.
Wait, he pulls out the crocs? That's the problem? Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's what it was.
All right. Oh, I realized that we did manage to hit our time. But if you find this quote, that's good. When does the Super Bowl even freaking start, dude?
Here, I'm gonna send you the... Yeah, I don't know. Shelly's asking me that. Shelly's mom was asking me that, too. Here you go. I'm posting this in. You can play it for everyone, maybe.
Okay. Oh, wait. How come I can't play this? Hold, please. Oh, wait. Okay, I think I am recording it, but into the wrong channel.
And a final observation on the same-sex marriage debate from Bob Catter.
I mean, you know, people are entitled to their sexual proclivities. You know, I mean, let there be 1,000 blossoms bloom, as far as I'm concerned. You know, but I ain't spending any time on it, because in the meantime, every 3 months, a person is torn to pieces by a crocodile in North Queensland.
So...